In this installment of the podcast called TextPod, we're going to hear about a publication which is really one of a kind. It's called Dar, and it's the first Arabic-Norwegian magazine. The interview will be in English. We're going to start by hearing the editorial, read in Arabic by the editor.
الدار تعني البيت وكل فضاء يشغله الساكن ومجلتكم التي تحمل هذا الاسم ستحاول أن تكون دارا وفضاء يتم فيه نقاش أمور متعددة تتعلق بالثقافة ومجريات الحياة لتعزيز التواصل وتخفيف وطأة المنفى. دار مجلة يقدمها المهاجرون والسكان المحليون معا لتتكلم عنهم وإليهم. في نهاية عام 2019 كان قد مر على وجودي في النرويج 4 سنوات، سنة ونصف قضيتها في الموتاك مركز اللاجئين، وعامان ونصف كإنسان حر. حلفني الحظ في تعلم اللغة، ثم انتقلت إلى مدينة أخرى لمتابعة الدراسة. الأشياء الوجودية في المدينة أصبحت أشيائي، ومصطلحات ومفاهيم عديدة دخلت على قاموسي الخاص. البيبان، الحجر الأزرق، الشمسية. من يسكن في برج يشعر بهذه الكلمات تماماً. وبالتأكيد كل مدينة حملت أهميتها ومفرداتها الخاصة في قلوب ساكنيها. كل منا بنى طريقته الخاصة في التواصل مع المكان حوله، بغض النظر عن تعلم اللغة، التي لم يوفق البعض في تعلمها لأسباب عديدة لا يتعلق أي منها بالكسل. خلال 2019 بدأت بملاحظة كيف أن الميديا بما في ذلك الصحف لم توفق في سرد قصصنا. بكلمات أخرى، تتحدث الصحف عنا ولكنها لا تتحدث معنا. هناك فارق كبير بين الأمرين، وهو الذي ساعد بشكل أكبر على بلورة فكرة مجلة دار. عند إغلاق البلاد في آذار من هذا العام، كانت الحاجة كبيرة وماسة لعرض معلومات عن الفيروس. لذلك وجدنا الحاجة في الانطلاق مبكراً ولو عبر صفحة بسيطة على الفيسبوك. المعلومات التي نشرناها بثت الطمأنينة في قلوب الناس، وهو أمر لمسناها في رسائل وتعليقات القراء. والآن نضع بين أيديكم العدد الأول لمجلتكم دار، نتحدث فيه عن تجربتنا خلال هذا الوباء، خصوصاً وأن العديد منا انشغل بقضايا لم تستطيع الميديا النرويجية تخيلها أو الحديث عنها. الكثير منا فكر في حلب، غزة، بغداد، البوسنة كما ستقرؤون في العدد. العزل والحجر كان له أثر كبير. نحن من نعرف تماماً ما تعنيه كلمات كحالة الطوارئ وحظر تجول. كما ستجدون في هذا العدد مقالاتي بمثابة تكريم لحياة الشاعر الفلسطيني الدنماركي يحيى حسن، الذي فقدناه مبكرا هذا العام.
Thank you so much. This talk is co-produced by Tekstallmenningen and Tekstalliance. My name is Åsne Hagen, and the founder and editor of Dar has just joined me in the studio. Welcome. Would you like to present yourself?
Yeah. Thank you, Åsne, and thank you for having me. I am Osama Shaheen. 30 years old, master's student, live in Bergen. I came to Norway as a refugee 5 years ago. And as I said, I'm a master's student right now, and I'm the founder and editor of the Arabic-Norwegian bilingual journal, Dar.
How would you like to describe this magazine or journal to someone who doesn't know it from before?
Well, I would say that Dar, of course, exists in different platforms. So Dar is on Facebook, is in Instagram, and as a website, and also a printed version. Each one has a specific task in a way. So we have a specific, we try to reach different kind of audience by each platform. So for example, recently we joined Instagram, and the point is that there is a generation that, for example, between 16 and 23 or 24, we are not able to reach through Facebook and our website. So we're trying to attract them also through beautiful designs and that to talk about specific issues, but through Instagram. We have also our Facebook that we share so many things from that we post on our website. And our website, it's a lot of articles that is written by people who live in Norway. And also some articles that we translate from the Norwegian newspapers. The point is that we don't only translate the articles, but also we translate the context. So we try to update people about what is going on in the Norwegian debate, So not only through translating the articles, but also about the details, about the background of this debate. So the point is here, and our goal is just to keep people updated, updated about what is recent in Norway. And of course, like the most important, and is our bilingual printed version, which is bilingual Arabic Norwegian journal that we had our first number edition. It was in December, and the title was Quarantine in Exile, where we talked about and discussed in a broad way how immigrants experienced the lockdown and the curfew that happened since March 2020. So many articles that talked about specific issues that it was a bit difficult for the Norwegian media to talk about or to think about in general, especially that people who are immigrants and refugees, they associate the lockdown and the curfew with flashbacks and memories back in their home country. And that's what we have here in this journal. And specifically, like some articles talk specifically about this issue. Like one of the articles said, Amina Selmovic, she said she came here early 90s to Norway. And she said, I've never remembered Bosnia as I remember it in March 2020. Different articles, some about Syrians, how they are grieving on distance and how difficult was it to face coronavirus for Syrian people there and how helpless we felt during the lockdown here. That, of course, is difficult on different perspectives, but we had some perspective that Norwegian media couldn't reach out.
Exactly. And you just received a grant from the Fritt Ord Foundation, which supports free speech and journalism. What impact do you hope to have on the public debates in Norway by publishing this journal?
Well, we published our first number that was on the 3rd of December 2020. And we tried to make it on the 3rd of December because the first Arabic newspaper, the first newspaper that was printed in Arabic, that was 3rd of December 1828. That was in Egypt. So we tried to have the same date as for our journal here in Norway, as it's the first Arabic journal, printed journal in Norway. And that was 3rd of December. Then 8th of December, they called me from NRK and they say, we would like to have an interview and that you come and talk about Dar. So we wanted to have some attention, but that was surprisingly very good that we had a TV attention. And the best gift was on 10th of December when we got the fund from the email that about the funding from Fritt Ord. And it was nice because we tried three times before, but we didn't suck, like we couldn't get it. And but then at the fourth time we get it and we were really happy. In a way you feel like more flexibility, for example, a writer that wants some, as we say it, honorar in Norwegian, and that we especially that the one in December we printed on ourselves, we paid for it. So at least that all the voluntary work that we're doing, that all producing these articles, translating these articles and writing, but at least we don't also pay for it. And also it's because it costs a lot actually to pay to print specifically 200 copies as we did in this issue. So yeah, that means that it gives us flexibility and stability for our project in this year. And but also we are trying also to get more funding from different also institutions that will make our project also more stable.
So for your first print magazine, which you mentioned, you had a special section about Yahya Hassan, this late Danish Palestinian poet. Could you tell us a little about the reasons you wanted to highlight his work in the journal?
Yeah, well, three of the people that work and are included me, and that we have similar background as Yahya Hassan. So we are stateless Palestinians in the Middle East. So, but Yahya was a stateless Palestinian in Lebanon. It happened that we are Palestinians, stateless Palestinians in Syria. His family migrated very early when he was very young to Denmark. And since I came to Norway, we don't have a lot about Yahya Hassan in Arabic, actually, unfortunately. But of course, he was very important voice in the Scandinavian debate, and he changed a lot of things also. The reason is just because I love Yahya Hassan. Like, he's such a talented person, and I love how rebel he is, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the way he was in this conflict, cross-cultural, that his family doesn't want him to be Danish and his Danish school doesn't want him to be Palestinian, Arab. So, but he didn't give up. He just, he wanted to be Danish, he wanted to be Palestinian, he wanted to be stateless. And how he, amazingly just wrote about that and in poem, and how he expressed himself in words, that was very powerful and very... it impacted me so much when I read what Yahya Hassan, for example, does he have in his Yahya Hassan 1 and Yahya Hassan 2. And it's a similar story to a lot of second generation that maybe here in Norway, maybe in Sweden, maybe in Denmark, that how difficult it is also to do this balance between the two cultures. And thankfully to Yahya Hassan that he also expressed about this. And the most important about Yahya, what I like also, that stories that we don't tell, it's owned by others. So I really like how Yahya Hassan also wrote his story in his own words, just that he doesn't want this culture to take it or this culture to take it. He just wants to have his own experience as Yahya Hassan, a Palestinian or a stateless Palestinian in Denmark.
Mm. You mentioned the power of recounting your own story rather than having someone else tell it. Mm. Do you hope to have a similar function with your journal for other people, that they can express themselves in their own words?
Mm. Sure. It's like one of the reasons to start a journal was there is a missing story here. I can't blame it all in the media, but the media interview people or talk to immigrants or talk about immigrants, but not talk to immigrants or with immigrants. And there is two things that the media focus on so much: when there is a lot of success or when people fail. But there is in between this spectrum that we a lot of stories that need to be told. So, for example, the media focus so much on how someone succeeded in learning the language, finding a job, which is like the two aspects for integration that we keep talking about all the time. But I feel like there is a lot of missing stories that we really need to be told. They are untold story that we will try to focus on so much. A group that I'm so proud of, and I'm so that I feel I'm very amazed that we can learn so much from them, is like immigrant parents, for example. They sacrificed everything in their home country. They left their homes, their uproots, everything. And they know that it's so difficult for them in a new country. It's so difficult for them to learn a new language, first because of the age, second because of how their memory is just now occupied with a lot of difficult memories about their home country and their family and extended family that they left. But they want to think about one thing, which is their children and a brighter future for their children. I feel like these untold stories are really need to be told. And these parents need to be focused on in a different way. And I would like to focus on them as heroes, not as someone, for example, a problem in the community just because they didn't succeed in learning the language, for example.
Mm, exactly. So what are your plans for the journal in the year to come?
So many plans, actually. And what I really like is people get so passionate. People are so passionate when they saw Only Dar on a Facebook page, and then they get more passionate even when it was a real printed version. And people just come send to Dar, and in our Facebook page, a lot of ideas. People that I know on Facebook also, they also send us a lot of ideas. So it's very difficult also to achieve all of that, especially that everything that we are doing, as I said, like it's just voluntarily. It's not our job, and we're not getting paid for it. But what I can say that we will have 3 more editions of Dar. Hopefully it will be 1 in April and 1 in August and 1 in December. Each one of them will have a specific topic to discuss. And we are trying to get Radio Dar, which is, it will be a bit difficult and it needs a lot of effort. But we're trying to do it that also for people who can't read. So we will try to reach them through podcasts and radio, and so they can hear to the articles that is translated, whether translated or to the articles that are written in Dar in the editions. And we would like to have, as like we say in Norwegian, lansering, and especially in April, hopefully that Corona will allow us to do so. And have different guests. We would like to have a lot of guests and stuff, but now, like, to meet people physically, it's so difficult. So, but we will see. Like, hopefully the things with the vaccine and everything would change things a little bit. So we will be able to meet people more, have more events, meet people, and have bilingual events. I don't know.
Interesting. So what about recruiting and keeping writers for the journal? You mentioned that there was a lot of interest in contributing ideas and articles. At the same time, you can't really pay people all that much to contribute. How do you work to make an editorial team under those circumstances?
Yeah, it is so difficult. And I remember, like, the first edition when we decided that we're gonna write about quarantine in exile, and I depend so much on the people that I know, the network, and people that we know, all of us in the team, not only me. And I guess we and the people like who work in Dar, they are quite lucky that they have so many people that they build their social capital in a way that they help them in finding out what are the topics that are most important, what is interesting for a Norwegian reader, what is interesting for an Arab reader. So we try to contact different people. Some people, they just say, no, I'm sorry. For example, I'm a freelance. I can't write for free. That was in the first edition, of course. Some people, they just say, yeah, I can do it. But, you know, like, people are just very busy. And with the pandemic, people are more busy, although that we tend that we have a lot of time, but we're not. So, like, I'm very grateful and appreciated so much for the people that actually that wanted to be included. Some of them, they are very important voices in the Norwegian debate, but they also wanted to be part of this also project. And I really appreciate it so much. And now, like, for the next edition or other editions, so we're trying to recruit people, whether by in our network or people that, so for example, we ask some people, experts, that what do you think, who is able to write about this issue, or so they just come, for example, with a list of names, and then we just can have contact. Luckily, we have this all platforms that we can reach out to people. That is not so difficult. Last edition, I contacted an American artist that beautifully was sketching the Syrian tragic what happened the last 3-4 years, and I contacted him, and he was just very happy that he got his art to be shared in a Norwegian Arabic journal. But it would be so like almost impossible, for example, without Facebook and without emails and stuff. But luckily, we have all of that now. It makes things easier.
Quite useful. So, it's probably likely that writing or illustrating for Dar will open some doors for your contributors later, right? Is that also a goal for the journal in some way, to capacitate people to create a platform for that?
Yeah, like a lot of, like, of course, The first edition, for example, it was from refugees and locals to refugees and locals. So some people, they are not refugees or immigrant themselves, but they contributed in the first edition in Dar. And some people, they wrote an article for the first time in their life, whether in Arabic or Norwegian. But it's very important to, as I said before, like for these stories to be shared. There was a very beautiful article by, she is quite an activist actually, Sumaya Aden. She is from Somalia and came recently to Norway 4 years ago. She wrote a very beautiful article about how students experienced the lockdown, how she managed to go to university, to find job, to how her husband, they tried to have balance in their life. So I think that was a very beautiful article, and she contacted me later and she told me, me and my friends are very passionate to contribute even more. So, and of course, like some art need to be seen, and like, for example, like our designer, which I'm very amazed because that was his first time trying to design a journal. Like his art is so beautiful, it speaks for itself. But we were a bit afraid also that the design maybe will not be that good, or because it was his first time trying to design under a journal. But it was just way more beautiful than we expected. And we got a lot of also feedback about specifically the design and how he tried and how he sketched the articles in art. That was so beautiful by Imad Al-Wahibi.
Mm. So let's move back to the very beginning. Could you tell us a bit more about the name, Dar?
Well, in 2019, I remember around September, October. It feels very long time ago, but actually it's only 1.5 years ago. But I start to think about something printed in Arabic. And I didn't have any idea if it's going to be a journal or a newspaper. I just had the idea. And then I discussed it with a friend, one of my best friends in Bergen. And also we lived or we are friends since before we came to Norway. Together on a bike 5 years ago. I discussed with him the idea. And then he came up with a name. And he told me it should be a word that has a meaning both in Arabic and Norwegian. Some people complained that it should be Adar with A instead of, or A instead of E. But we tried to find a word that is easy for Norwegian people to remember also. And also the two words, they reflect each other in a way, like our identities. And Dar, actually, in Arabic, it means home. But also it means every space that a person occupy or take is a Dar. So, for example, the university for me is Dar. My apartment is Dar. The street is Dar also for me. Because every place we go to, we are witnessed. We make a change, whether with our movements, our voices, our hair color, our skin color. So people are witnessed in different ways, but they just need to hear that. And so that's next day he just sent me something by email. It was the logo. So suddenly we were having a cafe here in Bergen and Fogal, and suddenly the next day we are having a logo already. And that was the very beginning of the journal.
Hmm. So you were moving really fast ahead at that point, right?
Mm.
Do you remember when you decided to make it bilingual, both in Arabic and Norwegian?
Yeah, like the idea started in general that, as I say, like there's so many stories that need to be told, so many untold stories. And I thought so much about this and about how some are projected in a negative way, although they are, like, just as I said, they are heroes with what they have done, what they have achieved in their life, how they crossed the Mediterranean, for example. And So I start think about something printed just to strengthen our physical relation with the place around us. So for me, for example, I feel very happy when there is a literature festival here in Bergen, and they invite, for example, Arabic writers. Very happy with the Arabic Film Festival. I don't like movies in general, but I just go to the cinema and I just close my eyes and just hear, you know. Like, it's very nice also to get something. So I was start thinking about something printed on the table that we have that discuss our ideas, discuss our stories, tell our stories. And so start thinking about the journal or the newspaper at that time, I don't know. So then we got the logo, and then we start establishing the idea. In March, when the pandemic came, it was so early for us to start. That was 5 months after I discussed it with my friend. But we just found that there is a big need for information to be translated to Arabic. And I'm just like very proud of that we have translated more than 200 articles since March 2020. Articles that about the virus, there was more than 200. And the articles are translated by one of the team and one member in Dar. His name is Muhammad Abdullah. Muhammad also is a two-spoken learner. Like, he teaches in Arabic and Norwegian to students in Vidrigona. And he just did all the job since March, and he just called me and he said, I like the project and I want to be included. And he just started working from the first day in it and on it. And then later, when we start thinking about the printed version of Dar, we thought that we want also to target the Norwegian audience. That, as I said, like, these stories are untold, but it's nice also that if they're going to be heard by Arab audience and our Arabic speakers audience and also Norwegians. So we decided that we're going to do it in both Arabic and Norwegian. One of them is, she is a writer, Rania Barud. She is the one who wrote to Dar, and she recommended that it's going to be bilingual. And then a lot of voices start to say, like, maybe it should be bilingual. So then we just say, like, why not? And it's going to be a very beautiful idea, just with that we have it right now. If you open from the right to the left, it's in Arabic. From left to the right, it's in Norwegian. It's quite unique in a way. Mm.
And the two languages sort of meet in the middle.
Mm. They meet in the middle. And but as I said, like, we hope now, it was just an idea that friends came up with. That was just what I said, that people just come with a lot of great ideas that just make a lot of big difference. So 2 days ago, we were just in also in a cafe. I was having a beer with friends, and then she came up with the idea that why not to read the articles and make them like kind of sound files, so people get to hear them. So then also I thought about the group that they can't read. Mm. And so now it will be soon, maybe people can hear Tudar also, which is really nice.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was exciting to hear what you have going on for Dar and for the team. And good luck with all your endeavors.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.